Hey, I've got a question for you. Do you know if you're tracking the right data, the right metrics, the right key performance indicators in your practice? This is something that's huge for us and really helps us make solid decisions within our business. But the prior software that we were using to run our practice made it really, really challenging to actually get that data out and use it in reports. Since we switched to PGA Everywhere, this has actually become way, way easier for us to be able to have the right data. We have a dashboard of all the things that we actually want to see, the metrics that we want to pull, and it makes our life a lot easier to pull the information that we need to make the right decisions within our business. So if you're running blind, you're not tracking the right things, or you're having a hard time actually pulling everything together, I highly recommend you check out our friends at PT Everywhere and see what they've got going on with their software platform. It's what we use for our practice. It's been a game changer for us. You can check them out at PT Everywhere. .com. I think you really like it. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today I'm excited to share a podcast with you that I had a chance to work on some of the framework of this on a trip that I was on recently. And I had a lot of time on planes. I had a lot of time driving. I went out to Washington State with my family to go see some friends of ours that are still out there. The Shamonics, actually Joe Shamonic, the guy that I started the Doc and Jock podcast with, but his wife Eliza and I went to the Army Baylor program together, and she's still active duty. She's killing it out there. Super, super sharp clinician. And they're still there. They luckily have been there for like 4 years. And so we got to go check out Olympic National Park with them. And Joe gave us a food and history tour of Pike Place Market in Seattle, which was a lot of fun with their kids. And then we went up to the San Juan Islands in Orcas Island and stayed there for a couple of days, which was insanely pretty. So I totally see why people like it out there. Obviously it's the summer. I don't know if it's like that all the time. Obviously, I don't think it is, but damn, it's a pretty place in the summer. So while I was traveling, I got a chance to really think about, you know, these, you know, variables that I think are really important with the businesses that we work with, but also myself, you know, from when we started practice 7 years ago. So that's what I want to share with you guys today. But before I do that, I want to update you on a couple things. So first of all, we're trying to get more of my business partners and our coaches involved in the podcast. We want to be able to share some different opinions, some different people that are working with us, and highlight them as well and what they're doing in these different sub-markets of the cash PT realm. So if you haven't noticed, you definitely are going to be kind of hearing from a wider variety of people, but all people that work, you know, within PT biz that are really, really smart. Most of them much smarter than me. And, you know, I love to be able to highlight them and the things that they're working on and the problems they're solving and the information they have to share with you and hopefully help you as well through this podcast. The other thing is, in September, we have our Dallas Mastermind event coming up, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be at a big ranch outside of Dallas. We're going to rent the whole thing out. It's like the most Texan thing you can imagine. There's longhorn cattle and a barn and a saloon. It's going to be amazing to get our whole community out there. We even got a really cool guest presenter in Juliet Storette, who's the COO of the Ready State, is going to come out and blow everybody's mind. One of the smartest entrepreneurs I know. It's just one of the coolest people I know. And she's going to be great. So, you know, if you have a cash practice and you think, man, you've been kind of seeing what we're doing with our mastermind, you're aware of it, you know, you're trying to grow your business past yourself, or maybe you've got a business and it's a little bit bigger, but you feel like it could be more efficient and you want to be, you know, around a community of people that are like yourself, that are trying to, you know, grow these true businesses past themselves, be able to create time and financial freedom, but also be able to maintain and have healthy relationships with their spouse and their kids and their physical health and mental health along the way, because entrepreneurship is just such a crazy challenge in so many ways. It's very easy to neglect other areas of your life. You know, if you're interested in, you know, having some structure, accountability, coaching, and being looped into a, you know, a, a sizable group of people, over 100 business owners at this point, reach out to us. Go to physicaltherapybiz.com/apply. All you got to do is answer a couple questions. We'll link you up with somebody on our team to have a conversation and just see where you're at. Maybe it's the right time. Maybe it's not. Maybe we can point you in the right direction somewhere else and help you that way, which is totally fine. Our goal is to really just help the profession move forward, whether it's with us or somebody else. We've just seen so much value in being able to help people really align their business with where they're trying to go and have some legitimate coaching and support and a community, more importantly, around that to help you achieve your goals. So if you're interested, head to physicaltherapybiz.com/apply and answer a couple questions. And you can jump on a call with our team. So let's get into it. So the top five lessons that I've learned in the last 7 years of owning a cash practice. So I narrowed it down to five. There's many that I could talk about, but I thought these were the most important ones. And the first one is you got to take action. Now, this can apply in so many settings, but initially, it's just actually getting started. I've had countless conversations, emails, and messages from people that, you know, they've been doing their research. They've been reading books. They've been listening to podcasts. They've been involved in Facebook groups, and they've been in forums and talking to other practice owners and things like that for like two or three years. And they're just waiting for the right time. They're just holding off until, you know, well, this life event's about to happen, so I'm going to wait until then. Or, you know, I'm going to wait till I have this much money saved up, and then I'm going to do whatever, right? But the thing is, what I hear over and over again is people just, they wait and they wait and they wait, and then life just kind of gets in the way, and they never actually do something, you know, or it's years later, and they put themselves in a place where now they've lost a massive opportunity because they didn't take action when they should have. And this idea of like paralysis by analysis is very, very common and true, especially in our profession. We're very risk averse people. You know, most of us didn't go to school with the assumption that we wanted to start a business one day. We thought we were going to have a cool job working for somebody else. And it's not necessarily like that. There definitely are options out there, you know, especially with the people that we work with, allowing people to work with people one at a time, you know, for an hour, work with more of an athletic population, more of a goal-oriented population that really, really wants to be proactive with their health. It's just super fun people to work with. Not everybody needs to be an entrepreneur because it's crazy and it's hard and it's not necessarily the thing that everybody needs to do. But if it is what you need to do, you know it. You know it. You don't have to explain to anybody. It's there. You feel it. And yet you're scared and you think that the more information you have, the more likely it is that you're going to take action. Well, unless you take action, oftentimes you don't know what information you actually need. And it's very, very easy to just think, oh, I need to learn a little bit more. I need to learn a little bit more. When in actuality, if you had started 2 years ago, you would be in such a different place right now because you would have been much further along. You'd have much more market share in your area and you'd be much, much better off as far as a business owner goes because you will see exactly where your faults are and what you need as soon as you get in the game, right? It's like playing a sport, right? You can read a book about jiu-jitsu. You can watch who knows how many YouTube videos about different submissions and sweeps and whatever else you want to do. But as soon as you get on a mat with somebody, it's very different. It's like very, very, it's not the same thing. So all that knowledge, maybe it helps you a tiny bit, but really you learn the most by doing. You learn the most by getting involved. And that's what most people that I see are making a massive mistake with, just waiting and waiting and waiting and having all these reasons why now is not the right time. And what they really need to do is just go for it. Just go for it. You know, as long as you're in a decent place, as long as you're not putting your family in some sort of financial bind, it's time, right? I mean, and if you wait another 5 years, you're going to be in such a more challenging position because we're seeing this evolve faster and faster and faster to where clinicians see proof of concept. We see it all over the place. And the amount of cash practices that are starting and growing past themselves is astounding compared to whenever I started a few years ago. So number one, you got to take action. You got to take action, not just when you get started, but also you got to take action when it's time to go through these other hurdles, right? Let's say your schedule is maxed out. And I see this all the time with people in our community because they're getting busy. They're getting busy. They're making great money. Their schedules are, you know, oftentimes waitlisted and they wait way too long to hire somebody. Or they're busting at the seams in their space and they wait way too long to look for a bigger space or a standalone space because Now there's fear again. There's an unknown. Well, okay, well, how do I negotiate a sublease? Where do I, you know, find a commercial realtor? How much should I pay? You know, what should my build out cost be? What kind of funding do I need? All these things. These are things we help people with all the time. And what stops them is a fear of the comfortable position they found themselves in, where they're making more money than they have working somewhere else. You know, they're enjoying the people that they work with. But when they have to grow past themselves, or when they have to grow past the facility they start in, there's fear there. And the fear leads to learning as much as you can about it before you dive into it, which is fine. I think there's something to be said for that. But oftentimes people wait way too long. And one of the biggest regrets we hear is people saying, I wish I hadn't waited so long to move into a standalone facility. I wish I hadn't waited so long to hire my first employee. And again, it's just like, I wish I hadn't waited so long to start my practice. Waiting. You got to stop it. Take action. It's uncomfortable, but that's where the growth is, and you have to go for it. All right. Number two. You can't take it personally. And this is something that nobody really told me this. And I wish they had, because anytime somebody like didn't want to work with me, or didn't want me to teach a workshop at their facility, or like dropped off my schedule and just never booked again, I would take it very personally. You know, I'd be like, man, what's wrong with me? Or what's wrong with them? Or, you know, just try to figure out what's going on. And you can't take business personally. Most people do, but you really shouldn't. And the reason why is you have to understand everybody you're working with, they have their own problems. They have their own biases in terms of what they want to have happen, or what they want to do, or what game they're playing. It's all a big game, really. And if somebody just ghosts you and doesn't want to answer your email, or somebody doesn't respond to you on a direct message, or somebody that you meet with, you just don't hit it off with, or they don't want you to teach a workshop at their facility, that's okay. That's totally normal. And don't take it personally. You've got to just like view this as a game, right? That's part of the game. And the better you get at connecting with people and networking, and the more you're in the area, or the longer you're in the area, the more likely it is people are going to want to work with you. The hardest stage for this is new businesses, because new businesses, there's no proof of concept there. Like, you know, you get this established business owner and they're like, all right, well, you just started. Maybe you're not going to be here in 6 months. I think only 50% of businesses or less actually make it to the 5-year mark, right? So for a lot of them, it's like, why do I want to spend my time with this person that may not even be around? And it's more likely that you're not going to be there than you actually are. So, you know, they're busy. They've got other things going on. They've got a family. They've got employees of their own. They've got their own overhead. They've got to make their own sales, right? Like, you're not the most important person in their world. And we think that we are early on because it's the most important thing for us. Like, we need this. It's the most important thing for us. And we press, and that's noticeable. And then we take it personally. We take it personally if somebody drops off our schedule. We take it personally if somebody leaves us a bad review. So personally, you know, and it's hard not to. But it's going to happen. It's inevitable. Certain people are not going to like you. Certain people are not going to want to do business with you. Certain people are going to love you. Certain people are going to, you know, 100% want that relationship with you. But you can't take it personally if they decide that you're not the right fit for them, or the timing is not right. One of the best relationships we have with a gym took like 2 years to hash out. And some of it had to do with people that were there that ended up moving on. And, you know, we were able to develop better relationships with some of the other coaches, and the head coach in particular. And then, you know, it's been a huge relationship for us, but early on they wanted nothing to do with us. And I took it very personally, and, you know, almost to the detriment of what our relationship is now. And I shouldn't have, right? And I get this a lot from our newer business owners that we're working with. We're like, well, so-and-so didn't email me back. Like, okay. Like, they're busy. You know what I mean? Like, you also can't expect somebody to respond to a cold email. It's the easiest thing to ignore. And it shows no value. Like, well, you're not helping them in any way. So you got to understand these relationships. If you're not from an area and you don't have all these pre-existing relationships, it's very difficult to build your local reputation in a service business. And it takes time. It takes being persistent. And you can't take it personally when people turn you down or don't want to work with you, because it's going to happen. All right, number three. You got to get really good at the numbers. And this is actually something that I think our profession struggles with more than many other businesses, because clinically we're amazing, right? Like, we can help people get better, whatever injuries they have. Like, we're really, really good at what we do, but it's not like you're getting, you know, basic financial courses in school. It's not like you're getting some basic accounting in school. It's not like anybody's telling you, hey, here are the key performance indicators you need to know, and here's how you calculate them, and this is what they mean. Because we went to school to be clinicians, you know, and there's a reason that's not in there. It's not on the federal, you know, national board exam. But when you get into business for yourself, if you don't know the numbers, a couple things will happen. Number one, people can 100% take advantage of you, whether it be through banks and lending, landlords. You know, when you're looking at your overhead of your facility, your subleases, like, you've got to understand your numbers. You have to understand how much cash you can allocate to these different things. Otherwise, you run out of cash. When you run out of cash, game over. Like that, you know, that's essentially the way it works. You'll be out of business. And to understand the numbers, it's not like calculus. You know, I suck at that stuff. I don't even know. I never even took calculus. I don't even know. I don't know how to explain it to somebody. But I can look at your profit and loss sheet, and I can tell you very quickly the health of a business or any other business, because I understand the basic financial components of looking at business numbers, business finances. And that's what you have to learn. That's what you have to understand. And some of that has to do with you starting to actually, like, not just be trying to be completely separated from your numbers. I get this a lot where people, you know, they're like, well, I've got a bookkeeper and I've got a CPA. They'll handle it. Just blindly trust that somebody else is doing the right thing. I've caught 3 out of the last 5 years a mistake on our taxes that was, you know, a small error, but I'm talking like, you know, a couple $1,000 tax error from our CPAs and our bookkeepers and the way things are being accounted and allocated. And it's because they're doing this for many businesses, right? It's up to you to, you should audit your own, you know, returns. And this is just a specific example, but you have to also understand what percentages you need to be at in order to be able to have a healthy business. What margins should you be at? Can you take on that kind of overhead? Can you hire a staff member right now? Do you have enough cash reserves? How many months does that last you for, right? And for many of us, we never thought a pandemic was going to happen, but it did. And for those of us that had cash reserves, we were fine. And we got through those couple months where it was real sketchy. For those of us that did not, they were out of business or they shut it down and had to go back to, you know, work for somebody else. Maybe they restarted it, maybe they didn't. But understanding that, understanding why, it's huge. And it's honestly, it's basic arithmetic. You know, it's adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing. That's basically it, and categorizing things. But the reason the numbers are so important is because it gives you clarity. And the more clarity you have, the more likely you're going to make the right decision and not a wrong decision. And really, I think longevity in business comes down to making more of the right decisions than wrong decisions over an extended period of time. So understanding numbers is a huge component of that. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen Shark Tank, but it's a great show. Actually, I really enjoy watching it. But one of the things that they constantly ask people about is their numbers. What's your revenue? What's your net? You know, so what's your cost of goods sold, and what are your margins on that? Right, because they're coming in saying that they want X percent money or X amount of money for this percentage of their business, so they're essentially valuing it, and they're trying to figure out, well, how did you value it at that? Why does it justify that? And all they're doing is asking them questions about their numbers. It's numbers and the person, numbers and the person's story. Do you want to invest with this person? Do the numbers match up? Does the person match up? Do you think, you know, they can be successful? And that's how they do it. But numbers are a huge component, and you have to be comfortable with it. Don't shy away from it and just say, oh, I'm bad with numbers. You don't have to be, you know, a genius. You just have to understand basic math and what you're looking at, and then practice it and be consistent with it. All right. Number 4, you've got to understand your own core values and your deep why. So I heard a podcast recently, and there's a guy, he was a Navy SEAL, and he was talking about mental toughness, right? And he said when they go to their training, in particular their Hell Week, where it's a week long, I think they sleep for like 4 to 6 hours the whole time, something crazy, they can write something in their hat. And, you know, it can be anything that's going to motivate you. And what he said was the people that seemed to pass and get through, they all wrote things that wasn't them, right? It was about their family. It was about other, you know, deep, important things to them, but it wasn't just them. And I think there's some parallels here with business in terms of, you know, getting super clear on why you're doing this. And this is actually one of the first things we do with people whenever we work with them in our Clinical Rainmaker program. And if they haven't defined this already and they come into our mastermind, we have to go through this as well, because it is not easy to do this. It's a grind. It's every day for years. And you know, it's something that if you don't have a deeper reason for accomplishing something than just money, or just not wanting to work for somebody else, you're not going to make it. You're going to give up. You're going to move on to something else. It's going to get too hard. Something's not going to go your way. You're going to start looking at other things. But if you understand your deep why and you understand your core values of what you stand for and why you're doing this, you're much less likely, you know, to give up. And I can tell you, for me, you know, when I first started, I just honestly didn't want to work in an in-network clinic. I didn't want to have to see a bunch of volume. I wanted to work with certain types of patients, you know, a certain niche. And, you know, I wanted to work with them in a way that justified what I thought my skill set was at the time. And I felt like I needed more time with them. So I thought an hour would work. It seemed like cash model was an option. I rolled the dice on it and that was it, right? But as I started going through my business coaching, about a year and a half, to 2 years into us starting our business, one of the first things they did with me was sit down and get super clear on why I was doing this. And I remember thinking, I was like, man, this is a waste of time. I was like, dude, just show me how to market and sell. I was like, show me your marketing plan, you know? And they were adamant about having to go through this. And it actually is really difficult. It's really challenging to really distill down why it's important for somebody to do something. And for me, it came down to, you know, generational family change, you know, not just financially, but also I think it's very important for my kids to see that my wife and I, we are like doing this on our own. We're taking a chance on ourselves. You know, we are not necessarily living a normal life. We're trying to be able to live an extraordinary life, which means we need time freedom, financial freedom, and we need impact with the people that we really, really enjoy working with. And all those are components of what drives us, how we make decisions as well, and who we want to work with or who we don't want to work with. You know, opportunities we say yes to or we say no to. These are all based off of originally going through, you know, what our deep why is, our core values, and we make decisions off of that. So you need to do the same thing. You need to understand why you're waking up every morning to again, get, you know, beat up early on in your career, and then do it again the next day. And, you know, you definitely learn a lot of lessons the hard way. You know, not everybody wants to work with you right away. You know, you get a lot of no's, and I think that's a really challenging thing for people to go through. And we see it over and over again. Mentally, they're just beat up, you know, and their confidence is shot. But if you know that deep why, imagine like what you would write on your hat if you were going through, you know, Navy SEAL training. Like, that's what's going to drive you in this business. It's going to keep you on the path. And it's going to keep you from giving up, which is what we see a lot of people do. It's like, you know, is there a high success rate in cash practices? I guess so. Maybe in comparison to other businesses, they cost less to start. So I guess if you fail, it's not like an astronomical, you know, setback. But it doesn't mean that they all work. I mean, I know many cash practice owners that have left and gone back to jobs. Many that have just given up. This has gotten too hard. Side hustles just turn into shutting it down. Full-time businesses, they end up going back and working for somebody else because they want the benefits. They want, you know, the easier path. They want to not have to think about their business all the time or be, you know, in it all the time. They want that separation. And early on, it's very hard to have that. You know, and for me, I don't know what their context was or their situation. I would never do that. Never. Like, there's absolutely, and this is something that, you know, I think everybody needs to get to this point and understand. You either have a backup plan or you don't. And this is either, I think this is going to work or this is going to work. There's a big difference in the mentality of that. And understanding what's going to keep you going is a huge, huge part of it. So if there's no other option, then your why is what's going to keep you going each and every day. The number five, and this is something that I think is actually one of the best parts of a business, is to be able to build your dream team. Build your dream team, meaning hire amazing people. Hire people that you really enjoy working with. Hire people that fit your core values, that help you build an amazing culture, a culture that a business that everybody that works there enjoys being there. Everybody that comes to work with you there enjoys that environment. Build an environment that's fun, that's positive, that cultivates people to, you know, grow and to be challenged by each other in a positive way, to have accountability, you know, to have opportunity for them to have more success and have a better work-life balance than working for somebody else. You know, this is my favorite part of our practice. It's actually the thing that I miss the most because I'm not as involved with the business on a day-to-day basis anymore. You know, I'm only there a couple times a month, you know, which is by design. Like, I pulled myself out so that we could really focus on running the business and growing PT Biz. But the people are who I miss the most, not just the people that we worked with. I really enjoy the population, but it's the people that are involved in the business, the organization itself, the culture that we have. Like, it's just a fun place to be. These are smart people. These are people that I would want to hang out with anyway. And we get a chance to work together. We get a chance to solve problems together, to build together. You know, and that culture is honestly, I think, the best part of starting the entire business. It's super sketchy when you get started. You know, it's really, there's so much unknown, there's so much stress, there's so many things that you have to learn so fast. And, you know, especially that first hire, it's really difficult. Like, you know, you don't know, but nobody wants to hire somebody and have to fire them, you know, or let them go because you can't support their salary. You know, you can't actually follow through on the thing that you're promising them, which is to give them, you know, a job, to give them a working opportunity. And that's how they pay for their mortgage. That's how they pay for their groceries, right? And like, even if they have to go, they'll find another job, right? But like, it's not something that you want to do. But it happens. And I think it's what scares people off from bringing anybody on. I know when we've hired our office manager, who's been with us for 5 years, over 5 years, I was really scared about paying her, you know, what we're paying her at the time. And, you know, it's just a number though, right? It's like, it's one of those things you have to realize, yes, there's a cost there, but like, how much does that person add to the business? How much does that person add to the culture? How much does that person bring additional people in and improve your experiences and give you the ability to be less active in the business? Like, what is that return on that? It's massive. As well as, you know, like our office manager, her name's Claire. She's like the epitome of our core values in terms of, you know, like having a fun work environment, you know, being able to not take yourself so seriously, actually caring about helping people, you know, being consistent, showing up every day for people. Like, it's, she's just been, I wish I had 10 of her, right? And, you know, and I was apprehensive to hire her. And if we hadn't, it would have been a huge mistake, you know. And all of our staff clinicians, this is amazing. They're so much smarter than me. They're so much better clinicians. They really care about their patients. Our patients see it. You know, they're not used to seeing that level of somebody really caring about them and problem solving with them and wanting what's best for them. You know, and we get to provide that for people. And I think if you decide to just stay small, just a lifestyle business, I mean, that's up to you. I think it can be the right fit for people depending on what they're trying to do and their spouse and family commitments and many other things. But one of my most, you know, favorite kind of parts of having a business is really the people. It's the people that you get to surround yourself with. And normally it's like, oh, like coworkers can be kind of hit or miss, you know, like wherever you're working, it's like, well, that guy's cool. Like, this guy got nothing in common with. I don't really want to, you know, I don't really want to sit down at lunch and have to make small talk for 30 minutes with this person. And, you know, you get to build what you want, you know, like if you get to build and hire whoever you want. It's like one of the best parts. So you get to build that culture via hiring people and making it stronger and making your impact bigger and your reach bigger. And I think that's, in my opinion, my favorite thing that we've been able to do since we started. You know, like the people we've helped is great. You know, the fact that we have a financially healthy business is great. But the people we get to work with, are the best part. It makes all the difference in the world. And if you decide to grow past yourself, I 100% recommend it. I think you'll love it. You'll learn a lot about yourself. It'll force you to become a better leader. It'll force you to become a better listener. And motivating people is not easy. That's very, very difficult, in fact. And it's a great way to grow. It'll make you a better parent. It'll make you a better spouse, I think, honestly, because you have to understand how to engage with and motivate people in a positive way. So, in summary, number one, take action. Got to get started. You got to have that first hire. You got to move to that standalone space. All these things that create tension and friction, you got to move past them. You got to take action. Don't just learn and do nothing with it. Number two, don't take it personally. People are going to turn you down. People are not going to want to work with you. People are going to, you know, maybe leave you a bad review, drop off and never come back. It is what it is. It happens. You know, there's lots of reasons why. Don't take it personally, because it's probably not just you. Number three, get really, really good at the numbers. Understand, if you don't know what a profit and loss sheet is, start there. All right. Profit and loss sheet and a balance sheet. These are two things that you really have to understand pretty well. And then getting really clear on your key performance indicators and looking at those on a weekly, monthly basis. Number four, understand your core values and your deep why. Understand why you're doing this. Understand, look, what you're trying to accomplish long term, and be very clear on that. And be very, very clear on that. Write it down. Look at it every day. Make sure that you understand what's driving you, because it'll help you stop, from quitting if you get to the point where you don't want to do it anymore. Now, number five, build your dream team. Hire the people that you would want to hang out with anyway. Hire the people that are smarter than you. Hire the people that make your culture, your business better, and get a chance to work side by side with them. It's not like, you know, this idea of, oh, they're going to work for me, I think is so stupid. It's so backwards. It's like, no, man, we are working together. We have different roles. We have different amount of risk associated with what we're doing. And because of that, compensation is not, split up equally. You know, there's a lot of variables when it comes to that, but hire great people, pay them well, you know, let them, you know, work within an environment where you're not micromanaging them, but you're giving them structure and letting them be successful and letting them know if they're winning the game they're playing, what's their score? How is that added up, and how do they win? How do they progress? Where do they move up? All of that is to be part of your business as you're hiring these people, but you build past yourself, build an amazing culture, and you'll build something that really is bigger than you, which is something that can be run passively, can be run as actively as you want, can be passed down, can be sold, can be put on autopilot, any number of things. You're building an entity of people, of the right people to serve in the right positions and follow the core values that you set in place. That's your business. So those are the five. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. If you like this podcast, share it on Instagram. Tag me in a Instagram story. Take a screenshot of it. Put it up there. I'd love to know if this is one of the ones you like. I'm going to try to synthesize more of kind of these lessons or bullet point lessons of kind of what I've learned, and hopefully this helps you at some stage, because I know there's people that are thinking about starting, that have just started, that have been going for a while, that have had a practice for a long time, and I'm just trying to share what I've learned, and hopefully it helps you in some capacity. So if you like this one, go ahead and take a screenshot of it, put it up on Instagram, tag me in it in your story, I'll reshare it. And I'd love to know if you like this one. So guys, thanks so much for listening. As always, I appreciate it, and I'll catch you next time. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT Entrepreneur, and we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.